Blog Talk Radio. Hello and blessings. You're on the air with Awakenings. Awakenings is the place for those that are living awake, tuning in, and understanding that they're awakening more and more to their potential. Awakenings is a place for those that perhaps are awakening perhaps from a sleepy state of consciousness and having many ahas and wanting to live their life differently, wanting to actualize what they've been realizing. Awakenings is those for those that are living awake and integrating that into their life, doing something differently. And this is a place of what we call the converging flow. Many of you, of course, that are tuning in right now are aware of the quickening, the quantum changes that have been taking place. Literally, you know, before the harmonic convergence, but literally, we can pinpoint from the harmonic convergence of 88, and we all know that that the energy that is us and among us that we're integrating is getting more intensified, and we're being called into action. And what does this action mean? It simply means living more authentically, living more from our true nature, our true space, and moving out of self-service or self-sacrifice into self-expression, creativity, perhaps into service. So I want to welcome everyone that's joining now, and I see some people coming in already in the chat room. And I want to talk a little bit, just before we bring our guest on, and share with you a little bit of how I synchronistically was guided to this individual. As you know, I'm always looking for, as I call it, people that in my estimation are that are the real deal and, you know, very dialed in and living their truth. I found Brian through a friend of mine who is also an amazing astrologer. And she was raving about, she had seen him, I believe, at a lecture or a seminar. And halfway through her talking about him, I said, oh, my God, I've got to get him on Awakenings. Wait, do you have his number? What's his name? Let's give me the info. So I had to do a little bit of hunting around and was able to find him. And synchronistically, we live in the same area, so that's even kind of more funny. You know, in this age of technology of finding someone on the Internet and then finding that they're somewhat neighbors to you. Anyway, so we're going to be dialoguing and discussing the patterns that are happening right now and the changes that are coming up with Pluto and Capricorn and I want to say and beyond, because Brian Evis is our guest, and he is an astrologer but also a pattern observer. And in his own words, when you can see your own big picture, when you can handle anything with ease and comfort and be in a divine flow. He has a background in Chinese astrology, numerology, and Western astrology, and he uses the universal energies and astrology to see how they're expressed, how they change relationships, as well as what is going on individually and collectively. So with that, I want to give a warm welcome to Brian Evis. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I am just so excited that you were able to take the time and do this.
It's an interesting hour because Mercury is just going direct at the moment as we speak. It'll be direct 107. It's been retrograde for the last 21 days or so. So when any planet makes a station, it's about five times more powerful. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
Wow.
And it's on the midheaven of the chart today, so it's really good.
Wow, interesting that and as you as a guest and the synchronistic way that we connected, That's pretty powerful. So things are going to move hopefully more smoothly now with Mercury direct. Because for those of you, you know, some people, well, there's a lot of astrologers that are listening that are on the chat room and on the line. But for those that aren't, can you just give a little blurb or a little overview of what happens when Mercury is retrograde?
Oh, well, it depends. For example, I'm a personal reader, basically. So it depends on what house it falls in your chart, what, and a house is what area that it affects. But Mercury retrograde in general, and it's in air for this year and throughout 09, and that's different. It depends on what element it's in. That's how you interpret it, okay? So, for example, in 2006, 2007, everyone was supposed to become more associated with their right brain function, their spiritual, metaphysical, psychic side. Mm-hmm. And that was what was going on then. For these 2 years, it's in air, and air rules communication. So, and it's infamous that communications break down on Mercury retrograde, so they certainly did for the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
But it is changing today, and it changes at 107 here on the West Coast in California.
Well, good for you, because during the retrograde, one, I didn't do a mic check on one interview, which is not like me. I did a mic check, but some adjustment was off, so I had to readjust during. And then another one, I had the wrong phone number for a guest. And so we were calling her. And then I was getting emails from her. I'm right by my phone. I'm frantically emailing her back, manning the phones, manning the chat room, emailing her back saying, we're calling you right now.
Well, that's so typical. Also, people, you'll notice that your friends, their computers have been breaking down. I had one friend whose computer broke down, the car broke down, and his phone broke down the same day. That's all Mercury.
Okay.
So, anyway, we should get going on what I want to talk about.
That's
just a small thing.
Let's jump
in.
Okay,
what I really wanted to talk about today was what you suggested was the big picture, because we're living in really interesting times, aren't we, Michelle?
Yeah, we are.
What astrology does is it tells us the timing of the universal breath, if you look at it from the big picture. And this is what's so important. And, you know, most people, they don't focus on the overall energies. You know, whether we're having a difficult time, like a lot of people are now, or a great time. You know, it's human nature to focus on whatever little box that we put ourselves in. And we have trouble seeing outside. Oh, I'm broke, you know. Where's my money going to come from? I need to move. You know, how am I going to move? I have no relationship. I hear that all the time. So anyway, this type of negative focus, focusing on the negative attracts more of the same. And you mentioned in the beginning, with personal clients that I read, I make a point to tell them, if you understand your overall picture, you can handle anything that is with ease that kind of comes at you. So a few things I want to try to cover in this conversation is what's actually happening financially and what we're supposed to do with it, what each person should be working on in their own kind of way, and on a real upbeat note, I need to talk, don't let me miss this, I need to talk about relationships. Because a new relationship consciousness is with us for the next 22 months. And because I'm always asked, I'll give my predictions for the elections. And I'm going to do this just by using the overall energies that everyone can appreciate, not by delineating the charts, which would just bore the astrologically uninitiated, okay? And maybe I can get all the way to the end of the world, December 21st, 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. And anyway, for those who listen to the end, I'll try to tie all this together. And because most people listening don't know astrology, anytime I use an astrological term, that's what I'm just about to talk about. Also, I do want to confirm that anything I say is my astrological opinion. And there's like thousands of astrologers, and we all have different opinions.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we know that here.
Yeah. I also think it's important as an astrologer to try to stay practical. You know, I've got triple earth in my chart, on my major. So anyway, some people go way off esoterically. I don't think this contributes to kind of concrete understanding for clients or for anyone trying to know what's occurring. And there's all sorts of natural laws, like, you know, everything occurs for a reason. But again, that synchronicity, the overall long-term residence, those close to disaster, they can't see it. And the financial panic of the last few weeks is a blatant example. of those involved. They're kind of plugging into the old, tired financial energy. See, the current financial structure, which has existed for a long time, is based on greed, manipulation, trying to get a lot by contributing nothing. Mm-hmm. But Pluto, which is absolutely the most powerful at the moment, which Pluto is the planet of death, leading to transformation, leading to rebirth, wherever it is in the final painful throes, the last 2 degrees of Sagittarius, which is the sign of freedom through knowledge and understanding. And these are very dangerous degrees. They signal, you know, wake up, there's a rebirth of consciousness. The old system needs to pass away. You need to find new ways of generating resources. So while Pluto's in the 28th degree, which is the worst of all, basically for our lifetime, July 25th to October 22nd, it ends next week, what we kind of, Michelle, we kind of have the pleasure of being students of human nature doing post-mortem examinations on the body of past attitudes to finances and relationships also on the planet, because that's changing, you know?
So it's finance and relationship is what's being affected.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Really, really big. It's all leading up to 2012, actually, in these two areas.
I know. I love it. Okay, go on. I can't contain myself. Go ahead, Brian. Okay.
All right. People should also be aware now to have gratitude. It's really, especially some people in New York. Anyway, to have gratitude with what you have, because gratitude is a high vibration, and you'll feel much better yourself when you continue to find little things to be grateful for. You know, like it's a nice day, or that meal was terrific, or your cat's nice, or something like all the little things. Because life is all little things. It's not having a huge hit in the stock market. And, I just thought of something, remembered something. Astrologers, you know, we aren't the only one who saw this coming. In the 1983 British comedy Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, I don't know if you've seen this, this calamity was foretold absolutely precipitously. In the movie, I'm trying to think of the name of the company. The Crimson Permanent Assurance Company fell like AIG and all the other American banks that went under. So the scriptwriter was very prophetic in the bizarre kind of humorous way of Monty Python, if you've ever seen those movies. But people seem to miss the cosmic joke when it happens to them in real life, don't they?
Yes, it's not a joke anymore.
And, okay, I want to also, I'd like to kind of re-establish something that you stated in the beginning. I hear people say that time seems to be going faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, everybody who's saying that's getting older, because part of the universal timing of getting older is when, like, for example, when you're 6, Christmas seems a lifetime away.
Mm-hmm.
When you are 60, you feel you've barely taken care of the last Christmas bills, and here's the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually disagree with that statement about everything speeding up. So let me tell you why. Yes, 80% of the population in the consensus state, meaning those who are followers, they feel this way. But the 20% in the individuated state, or even the few in the percentage in the spiritual state, think the reverse. Okay? Now, and I'm sure this concerns a lot of the people listening, feel now that they must wait and be patient, wait for the job, wait for the relationship,
that you're saying, Brian? Who's feeling this way, that they must wait?
These are the individuals in the individuated state, more evolved, more self-aware, and they are waiting. And it seems to be a waiting game for those into self-awareness and self-observation, probably most of the listeners to your show, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I could compare their response to that of an impending car crash. You know, just before a car crash, everything seems to slow down, to go into slow motion. And this is what's happening in the world for those into awareness. It's not speeding up for them, it's the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
This is why they can often see so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, in fact, they all just watched a giant car wreck happen. And we are projected towards 2012 this way. And so a lot of people are really astonished. But as you know, there's an 80% herd state, and they just cruise along in panic and anxiety and go into whatever space seems to be inappropriate for the day. But anyway, the aware are not in a panic mode. You know, most feel that their patience is being tested a little too long.
Yes.
That's what's happening here. So our choices must be in alignment with the new spiritual energies beginning to impinge on us. And this really began to have impact in September. Okay? In September, we had three giant shifts. I might as well just go into these. We had Jupiter and Pluto and Venus and Mars all make a vibrational shift that was really big. Okay? Jupiter, everybody's favorite, the greater benefic. It's the planet of expansion, higher mind consciousness. It's stationed. Okay? Well, we opened the show saying that when something stations, it's extremely powerful. It stationed September the 7th, conjunct a special fixed star. Okay? And the fixed star was called Nunki. And it's the second brightest fixed star, the head of the Archer, Sagittarius. Okay? And Jupiter kind of like marked the arrow in pointing directly at the galactic center. So what's that mean? Esoterically speaking, on a station, there's a portal that opens into the unified field of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And Jupiter expands this energy enormously. So Jupiter activated a stargate into the origins of creative energy emanating from the galactic center. Okay, this was September 7th. So there was a big expanded forward motion that occurred then. But more importantly, and I'm sneaking everything in here, on September the 9th, the moon did something. It was in occultation to Jupiter and Nunki. What's occultation? This is when any planet, and in this case the moon, which often does this, when it temporarily obscures some other planet or star, okay? And it repeats four times. And most importantly, this is what I want to talk about, it repeats the night of Monday, the November the 3rd, before the election. Mm. So what does this conjunction mean on the night before when everybody's sleeping? Okay? Many people are going to feel a huge underlying energy of impending destiny. You know, it signals an acceleration of changes for you, Michelle, for me, for everyone, for governments, for all beings on the planet, you know, 80% of which, as I say, won't feel a thing. But it's a vibrational shift. It's all about completing and dropping the old and outmoded. You know, as we send old, rigid, fixed, stale energies on the arrow of Nunki into the true galactic center, which actually is a giant black hole.
The galactic center is, yeah.
Yeah. And for the last few years, there's been a lot of somewhat airy-fairy stuff has been prattled on about Pluto conjunct the galactic center, you know, like we're going to have some kind of evolutionary leap. No. Why? Because the galactic center is a huge black hole, and a black hole only receives. And it receives everything that emanates from Earth, every thought, every action, every creative output of energy. So in one way you could say the Bible is correct, you know, it gets pulled into the black hole. I like to call it God's iPod. Listen in on us, all right? That's the black hole. And, I just want to
stop. Now, one thing with the galactic center, as there's that aspect, does that cause the intensification of light and energy, the impulse?
Absolutely, especially because Pluto's been conjuncted too. I'm just going to talk about that. I'm trying to not overlap so everybody can follow me.
Okay.
So I'm just going to do, you're right, I'll just answer it this way, you know. Pluto's in its last run through Sagittarius, and it went direct September 8th. Everything happened in September. That's basically why the old world started to collapse in September. That was the purpose. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it went direct September 8th where, to answer your question, conjunct the galactic center. And it should have been a big wow, right?
Yeah.
No. Pluto direct and Sag, hopefully, if you're aware, finally we're supposed to be learning something. What? Something that started on the full moon of December 20th, 2006. And that full moon is 28 Sag, conjunct the galactic center. Okay, so since July 1995, collectively, we've all had a Sagittarian kind of personality. The whole time Pluto was in Sag. But since December 06, most of us didn't really know what was going on, and through most of 07. This is how everything started to collapse. Nobody knew what they were doing because during that full moon, Pluto was conjunct the galactic center. So through 2007 and up until now, actually I'm talking, when I say now, up until November 26th this year, many people, they got really depressed. They're still going to be depressed. They're worried about their future. They're worried that they're going to run out of opportunities, that they should hold on to what they had with a grip of steel. And many people, especially this year, have felt a loss of meaning. And it started through 2007. And it's only in a shift mode from now till the end of November. Sagittarius, wherever it is in our charts, it's where we want answers. And we want to understand. and we want meaning. But the galactic center, the black hole, the true center, has the power to destroy everything, including meaning. Mm. So many, many, many people, they're being forced to open up to new meaning in their lives, and this is between September 8th and November 26th, okay? Mm. And this is actually the basis of the hope for the American election in November. And when people go to bed the night before voting day, November 3rd, the moon's going to be in occultation to Nunci and Jupiter, and as everyone sleeps, the energy emanating subconsciously into their mind is, bring on the change.
Mm.
Okay? So October, this is a pretty intense month, and all sorts of deeply buried issues are going to be brought forward. Much unpleasant and or useless information is going to come up, and all the bickering and petty arguments is going to get out of hand. Watch it for the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
And the last debate is going to fall into this kind of picky level. Okay? Now, still talking about Pluto, for years, for years it's been retrograde in April and goes direct every September. All right? So you're going to find, if you think about it, think back, that every April and every September are the two really key months of building intensity in your life. And this year, Pluto stopped in the sky both April the 3rd and September the 8th. And when it stops, all your issues start to come up. It is the planet of transformation, and Pluto is about internally purifying yourself. And it's the planet of death. So Pluto says that every time it stops in the sky, an issue in your life must die. You must let go of something. But that's hard for people. One of the hardest things people have to do is let go. So April and September, they're very intense transformational times. In fact, next year it's April 5th and September 12th, 09. But this year is even more intense for everyone because this is the final clearing of the Sagittarius energy that began when Pluto entered in July 95. So this final retrograde period, June 14th to November 26th time, is very rough on all the signs. It's rough on all of us. You got to remember, too, that Pluto is also associated with events over which we seem to have no conscious control. Politely, stuff happens
yeah.
with Pluto, especially in the 28th degree. Why the 28th? Well, a European astrologer, through extensive research, they found out that the 28th degree of a sign is usually the most difficult one, not the last degree. I could explain that more, but that's all you need to know. There's always a paradox involving the last degrees. You know, they can be both punishing as well as spiritually rewarding because we all now have within us the whole experience of Pluto and Sagittarius. And the last degrees carry the possibility to purify the soul, leading to the new life experience of the coming Pluto and Capricorn on November 27. But first, everyone must face everything that rises up from the unconscious in order to clear it. And I'm just thinking, this is a good space to, why not just for 15 minutes or so, run through each sign for everybody, what
okay.
Pluto's doing to them. So I've got time for this, so I might do it.
Okay, that sounds great. I guess I was just going to ask you, I've been having with my clients, and then on awakenings, we've had guests on that have a lot to do with cleansing, physical cleansing, detoxing, emotional cleansing. So part of what I'm hearing you say, Brian, is that's part of this Pluto aspect, or can be as a form of cleansing or clearing, purifying. Obviously on different levels, but it seems to be right now a lot of people around me actually doing detoxes, fast cleanses, emotionally cleansing, getting more body work, more healing work, cleansing people out of their life, certain people that aren't resonating anymore. So would that be part of the effect of this that you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not just physical cleansing. There has to be a financial cleansing for some people.
Yeah, emotional, mental, material, physical.
All of it. And that's what I thought I'd just go into because it's different for everybody. And it's really quite rough because it's the end of toleration for most energies, for most people. But I'll just do a minute or two on each one. Okay,
that'd be great.
And when I say Aries, I'm talking about Aries or Aries rising. If you know your rising sign, it's like more important. Aries lately.
And just because we have new people that are just coming in the chat and online, so Brian is going to go through Pluto in each sign, right?
I'm going to Pluto at the end of Sagittarius till November 26th, and how rough it is, how it's been affecting everybody since June, basically this year.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
Okay.
And Aries, if you're an Aries, it's all about ending a really bad job or a really rugged career situation. You know, you can, most Arieses, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say most, a lot of them, you know, can even be have been fired by now. If that hasn't already happened, you know, it will happen. Pluto just wants you to cut ties with the past. You know, you've been suffering in that job way too long. And money and debt and taxes, or even legal matters. You've got to try to get this as clear as you can before November 27. Pluto represents power. It's your personal power. And you are a fire sign, and it's still in fire, okay? So this year you have the power to make a career or job change. You're supposed to go for it, especially if that's what Saturn's telling you that you need. But for now, it's a time for a final letting go of any kind of old, outmoded, self-limiting ways of thinking, especially to do with work that you feel limits your individuality. And you said something funny, Michelle, in the beginning. I'm going to repeat it.
Okay.
Aries could have an aha moment.
Okay.
during the last week of October, or around November the 1st, and this for all of you who have resisted to this point, this is your end of toleration. This is when you decide you've had enough, and this leads to the November shift in your work or career. Aries is going to get, if you haven't, you'll get a really good job in November, okay, leading into December. Tauruses, oh, gee, I got so many Taurus friends, and they are so bad. they're so misbehaving. Nobody clings.
I have a Taurus brother, so...
Yeah, well, they hold on way past
yes.
the point
yes.
of holding on, okay? Now, since 1995, Taurus is listening to me, Pluto's been in a really difficult, frustrating one-step-forward, two-step-back energy to how you express your will and your consciousness. And this has been especially difficult with all your relationships and with all shared resource situations, money, etc., including your domestic life, money in all forms. So... if you've not already done so, you've got to finally let go of all the negative relationship situations. You must just get out of it that have built up in your life and that you've held on to for far too long. You know, and Taurus will hold on for a financial outcome, not a real good reason. It's also kind of a mistake because it's not going to happen. And let go of whatever complex financial thing that you keep expecting to come through. It isn't going to come through, so let it go. So Taurus really needs to kind of cut their losses. You know, you've waited too long. Pluto in Capricorn, though, it's Earth, Taurus is Earth, for the next 16 years, from November 27th to 2024, will elementally trine all Taurus energy in your chart. So your inner strength is going to really grow, and your determination will grow, and your self-confidence will begin to replace the intensity that you now project that is now so strong in you since for the last 13 years, okay? Pluto, Gemini, I'm just thinking. Gemini, okay, it's since 1995 for a Gemini, it's been way too emotional. It's been way more emotional than you like it to be. You prefer intellectual challenges. And I used an expression that Geminis are kind of on a roll. You probably left your marriage partner or bad relationship during the last few years. Hopefully, if you have not done this, you will do it in October. It's been really bad since 2005. Michelle, I'm going to stop for a second and say, do you notice how this is all Pluto clearing the negativity
yeah.
of different people's lives?
It is.
And,
or what's and stopping them or blocking them or what seems to be blocking them, right?
Yeah, and they've got to let it go because they're going to be hammered by these categories if they don't. And Gemini might have ended some rip-off business associations too. What Pluto's now demanding is that unresolved issues concerning relationships. Either you decide to resolve them or you decide that you can no longer continue at that level. So it's really powerful. June 14th, this November 26th, is the time of resolution for you. October is really important. You will make a choice to continue the relationship at a newer, deeper, more meaningful level, or you will move on. But now, all sorts of remembrances and dreams and visions of all of your relationships will be surfacing in your consciousness, and you'll see just how they impacted on your life. But it's also a helpful release to consider how much you've done for them, too. So think of that, Gemini, all right? With Pluto and Sag, they were empowered by associating with you, even if it didn't work for you. Okay? And by December, any relationship still in your life is there because you want it to be there and because you've redefined the entire nature of your relationship and because both of you have come to an acceptance of this new vibrational level. So Cancer Capricorn is a hard axis for this Pluto and Sag. Cancers. I'm going to just say, many cancers, and it's been really bad since 2005 for them. They've had some life-threatening situation come up for them, and if it wasn't to them, it involves someone really close to them, especially a family member, okay, an elderly parent or a husband or something like that. But cancers, they can't let up on any health situation for a moment, okay? This all alters after November 27th. So my cancer friends, I just want them, you know, hanging in there with everything and keeping it all up because it's going to get better. Cancer is also in a closing phase of dealing with difficult people at their work. Okay? Now, it's interesting. June 13th, November 26th, this is the period, 14th to the 26th, I'm sorry. You might feel that you're pushed beyond your endurance. And what just came to mind, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Cancer Rising, right? And he stayed here. He preferred to do battle trying to push that California budget through rather than go to the convention and show off like the Leo he is. He'd have much rather have done that. But the cancers, they're really into this. And so he feels like all cancers really, really, really pushed to the limit. It feels, I'll tell you, for cancer, it is life or death to them. And your cancers, your patience are being tested, your stamina is tested, so you have to stand back and you have to try to see the health or the work stress situation objectively and get as much help as you can for whatever, okay? After November 20, cancer is going to love this when it goes into Capricorn, because what's going to happen for the next 16 years is you're going to discover much, much more about yourself reflected in your partner, okay? And by the way, all single cancers listening, you know, you're going to attract an all-consuming romance into your life really soon. It could be as early as Christmas, but I kind of see it like spring 2009, okay? So that's for you guys. Leos, oh boy. Don't forget, Bill Clinton was a Leo, all right? Since 1995, the romance the world is having with you is on its last legs. Obama he's a Leo. He's so lucky that Pluto is in Sagittarius for the election, but it's leaving on November 26th.
Wow.
And that's it with the adoration. Okay?
Really?
So he's going to have to get really, really real because no more adoration. And since 1995, Leos have acted up and they partied and carried on. It's coming to an end. I mean, there's going to be a lot of Leos out there paying child support payments long after Pluto's left Sagittarius, never letting them forget that they kind of overplayed their cards a little bit. Anyway, till November 26th, it's in a trine aspect to Leo. So on a positive level, you know, Leos, they really have the passion right now. They got the determination, and they got the Obama. They got to follow through to accomplish almost anything they want to do. And Leos are going to be—they should be really pushing very hard for these last 2 degrees, and to kind of maintain their equilibrium, they need to take breaks and need to rest as hard as they play or work. And I remember that Obama took a week off and went to Hawaii. Perfect. Maybe he has an astrologer. I don't know. Anyway, when Pluto goes into Capricorn for Leos are going to want to put a lot of energy out there to transform their career. Ta-da! That's good for Obama too, isn't it? Really, but it's work. It's going to be a lot more work. A lot of Leos are going to make their mark on the world in 2009 to 2024 with Pluto and Capricorn. And for many Leos, it's going to be a completely new path from what they've done before. Well, if we look at Obama as a Leo, he's never been president before, has he? So that's interesting. Well, let's stop there for a moment.
Let me just interject one sec. Caller 860-426. We will get to you. Brian's just going through the signs and how they're being affected by this energy pattern astrologically. So wait on the line, and we will get to the callers. Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll get to them. I know a whole lot of things. I've got to get the romance, too, for people because it's really good.
Okay, get to it all.
No, we'll just go away at Virgo. We're halfway there. So, unfortunately, for a lot of Virgos, a lot of them, they're the ones, a lot of them, they lost their homes in the house credit mess, okay? And Virgos have had to really try to have their home or, personally speaking, the foundation of their life in a clear space by November 26th. And so this is a really stressful period for them, even if they just had to move or they just remodeled or something. And also many Virgos had to help with their elderly parents. And this care and concern probably went on for the last several years, since 05, probably, 2005. And Virgo had to take over many of the life arrangements for their parent also. And Pluto, left to the, shift of the parent to the other side also in most cases. And Pluto wants Virgos to see that you really want some deep change in your life. So Virgos are having the possibility right now of like a true romance entering your life. And when Pluto's in Capricorn, it's going to be in trying perfect flow of energy to Virgo. So they finally get a break and kind of reach their dream. And you want to know what Virgo's dream is? To feel in control of their life. they're really into that. Okay, Libra. Libra spent the last couple of years screwing up their relationships with their overly intense communication style. And Libras, now that you're alone, try to see how you've been communicating and how that has to change. Because Libra's supposed to communicate with charm and style and grace, not with force or threats or intimidation or sarcasm, which is what they've been doing since 2005. And your intensity this year can even be felt by your pets. So let it go because it's not attractive on Libra. All right. And the new romance energy for the next 22 months is Libra. So Libras really have somebody coming in also. So that's great. Anyway, Pluto in Capricorn, November 27 is a big shift for you. Until then, you're supposed to take care of all the loose ends in your life. This has to do with friends because there'll be cutting a few friends loose and attracting, choosing more appropriate ones to hang out with. Things with relationships and parents can come up. But Pluto and Sag has been empowering how you think. But you've been projecting yourself in a very intense manner. And your new self-confidence opens up in 09, so others will accept your new thinking much more comfortably. Okay? Scorpio rising also, because Pluto spent the last 13 years really making you look at how you are set up financially, this was not a test. So I can say, you've experienced some major financial ups and downs. So till the end of Pluto's Sag run, you need to stop and assess what you've learned about living with money. Look at your financial status now. What is your net worth? You have to add it up, include everything. There's some intensity, some anxiety surrounding investments for you. But Pluto's asking you, what the heck really matters to you? Hmm. So look back, because your value system has really shifted. It's very different than it was back before 95, isn't it? And the money you expect will come in 2009, not till then. With Pluto and Capricorn, your financial picture really, really, really brightens. I know you'll be thrilled to hear that. And things move forward in a much smoother way for you. But in 09 and 2010, you're going to really start to broaden your outlook and how you think. You're going to feel lighter, and you're going to want to expand your mental horizons and quite likely your physical horizons too. So Scorpios could take off and go East Coast, West Coast, and really change around, okay? Sagittarius itself, Pluto's been in Sag. And it's been... how can I word this? Not real. It's been a bitch for Sages.
There you go. Just say it like it is, Brian.
Because you enjoy being, Sages enjoy being way lighter than they've been forced to play it since 1995. Again, Sag is funny how all this stuff keeps coming up, almost as a repeat of some, for some of them. You have to get your money back on track before November 26. You really have to clear up your financial life and also home and career stuff's going on there. But Sag is all about taking responsibility. You know, that's what's been happening. And Pluto's been empowering you the most of all signs. And it's greatly enhanced your kind of determination, and you have a lot of actual willpower now to do things, and you are your own master. You are responsible for all your decisions, all your actions, and at the deepest level of your soul. And for the next 16 years with Pluto in Capricorn, your job is to bring your new deep personal power forward in the world to further your goals, make real money at a much more consistent pace than you ever have before. Capricorn, for Capricorn risings out there, till November 26th, Capricorns are being forced to see their past. And usually it's all the horrible stuff that was shoved way into the subconscious. The mess of early family relationships, schools, all sorts of childhood memories are coming up for Capricorn. And later memories, too, and regrets. How? In dreams, in thoughts, you know. And Pluto, for Capricorn, it's about death. It's about death of all the old ways. It's about death of your past. And you have to look at everything that surfaces. Whatever comes up, no matter how nasty, you take a last hard look at it, and then you, if it's somebody, then you bless that person and you let them go. And Capricorn has to let it all go, or you will get sick yourself holding it in. In fact, for Capricorns, actually, literally, someone can actually leave the planet around you, you know, before November 26th. Positively, your subconscious will begin to release different new images that may point you in some new direction. So be aware of this and write down your dreams. It's Capricorns who are next to move into an intense charismatic increase in personal power when Pluto goes into Capricorn. They'll be accomplishing a lot in the next 16 years. Aquarians, Sarah Palin's an Aquarius, isn't she? So anyway, this year for Aquarians, they're laying the groundwork. They're trying to set out on some new personal journey to realize their dreams. And Aquarians have been on a long upward spiral for the last 13 years. And they've been building powerful connections and influential friends who are basically all on their side and support them. And so if you're an Aquarius rising, and you're involved in a club or an organization or a group or something like that this year, you could be elected to a top leadership position in that group before November 26th, or you may be helping others get organized to support some humanitarian cause. This last 5 months till November 26th, it's about, for you guys, it's about reassessing your dreams and goals in life. And some Aquarians could move or relocate, so they may have to say goodbye to some old friend or some group that they must move on from. And also, okay, this is like a hint about Sarah Palin, some will have to let go of a dream because of destiny or timing. It just isn't going to happen yet. Pluto, when it goes into Capricorn for Aquarius, it's all about upgrading yourself, you know, self-renewal. From within. Michelle, you were talking about purification. The Aquarians are really into it at the moment.
Well, that's one of my clients. She's doing this major cleanse. It's like she's an Aquarian, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, they're really, really. Yeah. I'll say it. She's in perfect astrological health, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly.
Because she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. Pluto and Capricorn, after the 27th of November, going to let all Aquarians know in no uncertain terms the power that you hold, and exactly also what holds you back, you know. And your intuition is going to be the best it's ever been for the next 16 years, so you really, really have to listen to it. It's really important for everybody to listen to their intuition, but Aquarius is so often in their head that they have trouble getting into that aspect of themselves. Anyway, Pluto prompts Aquarians to kind of take action to resolve any issues that prevent you from maximizing your potential, okay? Last sign, Pisces. How come Pisces is last all the time? Anyway, Pisces, they don't really like to work as hard as they've had to work. Pisces has really had to work since 1995. I'm like forcing this out of me here. They couldn't let up, right, you guys, Pisces, or the money stopped flowing in, right? But you got to stop and think about how your career has evolved. You know, appreciate how far you've come. And until November 26th, you know, watch for power plays at work. Expect some tension with supervisors, coworkers, all this kind of nonsense. You know, you're actually looking for the new position or the promotion. Okay, so some Pisces have to let go of the fantasy of status that they have in their heads for themselves. And if the job is wrong for you, it's going to end somehow, or you'll get fired, you know, because it's not the right one for you. So Pisces are really tired, and they're waiting for easier times after November 26th, which you're going to get, because you're going to get a sextile from Pluto for 16 years. Sextile is the word for opportunity, okay? So you want to begin to let go of the intensity and continuous effort by the end of November and chasing the money that you want to gather. It's going to come much easier. So Pisces, you're really going to like the new, steady, more relaxed feeling you get after Pluto goes into Capricorn, especially throughout 09. Really good year for you. Well, I'm speaking in general, of course. You'll feel empowered to do just about anything, and you can start to make personal changes that give you an easier life. Okay? So anyway, so Michelle, there's. I just thought I'd do that for everybody because that's the end, and you can see how intense it really is. And some people it's financial, some people it's home, a lot are it's relationships. Mm-hmm. And I should have asked you what your sign was.
That's great. That is.
It's a secret. I'm sorry.
Always, yeah. Well, I have some Scorpio in my chart, so I'm. I have my little occult metaphysician, but also. My little secret.
Okay. All right. I love Scorpio.
No, I'm not Scorpio. I'm not Scorpio, but I have...
Oh, you got that energy.
Yeah, I've got that energy. Everybody thinks
I'm Sag because I got Mars conjunct Mercury in Sagittarius. So that's what you're listening to.
The lightness.
I'm just going to concise. What's actually going on now is a vibration of change. But people, you know, Michelle, they don't like change, do they? It has to be forced on most people. So this is why it's getting, it's gotten extremely chaotic. But as you know, the Tao teaches that there must be chaos before order.
Yes.
You have to have chaos. Chaos is what creates things. It's what it creates order. Because if we live without chaos, we live in the same order and never grow. So we're in a time of growth, of spiraling upward, and this is how we grow on this planet. Everything on this planet is a spiral. DNA is a spiral. The string theory is a spiral. So the market is swinging. Let's go on to some predictions for you. Market's swinging absolutely wildly,
yeah.
And it always drops even more with Venus, which is the planet of money, in Scorpio every year, and it made it worse this year because Venus was in Scorpio September 25th to October 18th, and that's the worst. The market does gentles down a bit after October 22nd, but just it doesn't end, okay? Don't think it ends. Election week, it's extremely volatile every election week, and it's very confused for the first 3 weeks of November. And also, I'm going to make a statement here. It's also the market's also probably not going to be very good the second week of December, because the second week of December is regret week after the elections. So everybody's going to be sitting and thinking in the second week of December, oh, my God, I can't believe I elected that guy in. And it doesn't matter who it is, that's going to be the thought.
Okay? Kind of like, is it a buyer's remorse thing?
Yep.
Kind of?
Yeah, okay. Buyer's remorse, second week of December. And we have the North Nodes in Aquarius. Okay, I'll just say some serious stuff here. The U.S. economy always has a bad reaction to the North Node in Aquarius. So the market is down till August 09. Then, as proven through history, like 1929, 1873, hard aspects between the outer planets is a huge downturn. And we're going to have a Saturn opposition, Uranus square Pluto, October 09 to August 2010. That is the real bad time. And also, I think July 2011 is really bizarre, because Uranus is in Aries square Pluto and Capricorn. How bad can that be? Capricorn rules big business and banks. So that's and Aries is oh, screw you, let's do it differently. You know, let's do it this way. So anyway, the market begins to actually heal and rise for real, as opposed to yesterday where it went up 1,000 points or something, after August 2010. It actually kind of really mellows out.
Okay, I'm going to hold you on that because we've got callers, but I do want to tap back into the finance and the 2012. But
yeah, and I haven't done the elections for you yet either.
Yeah, so let's just see who is on the air. Hi, 860-426. You're on the air with Awakenings and astrologer Brian Eavis. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, hi. You have to excuse my voice. I'm a little sick.
Okay, hi.
Well,
what's your name?
Veronica.
Hi, Veronica.
I'm from Connecticut. I was just wondering, he sees a particular cycle for me. I'm a Leo. Does he need my date of birth?
Let's see. I think he. Wait. Did you listen?
We're not doing personal readings, are we?
Oh.
I was because I'm trying to do international big things.
Yeah. Did you? Were you listening, Veronica? Because he touched on Leo. In regards to this.
Veronica, you have Cancer in the 12th house. I mean, in your solar chart of Leo. All right. And that's all about healing at the moment. So you are really in a healing mode till November. You should try to transform yourself incredibly by this should be your motivation till November 26th, seriously,
okay.
So that you're completely well in all ways.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for calling in. Keep listening.
I forgot people would probably call in with their own questions.
Blessing. One more. Let's see. We've got... Hi, 973-377. You're on the air with Awakenings and Brian Eavis. Did you have a hello? 973-377. You're on the air with Awakenings. Okay, well, they might be listening. Some people call in to listen.
Okay.
Because they might be in their car or in their office. Okay, great. So I'm assuming that they're just listening.
I don't know. I just go on with a whole bunch of stuff. And
yeah.
then they can talk about what they want to talk about.
Okay, sounds great.
I wanted to mention the housing market because I get asked that all the time. It bottoms next year. It begins a slow return after September 09. So it's actually a buy time for a house. If we could afford it, we'd be all out buying houses, as everybody kind of knows. But it gets lower even next year, but it rises after September 09. And right now, Jupiter is in Capricorn until January the 5th, 09. And Jupiter is the planet of healing, and Capricorn is big business in the government. This is why healing of big business by the government is, did you notice, it was an immediate priority. That was so fast that they got into it. Anyway, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk esoterically for a moment.
Absolutely. We love that.
Okay, this year we've entered a time when our materiality is dissolving. Because a year ago it would have been unthinkable that Bear Stearns or Merrill Lynch or Lehman Brothers would have vanished, you know. And one of the energies that's cosmically coming into the earth plane right now is fear. And you can read it and you can feel it and you can see it on TV. And we're in a time where we started to have a lot of material crisis on the earth in the form of banks and institutions and money, and we all know that it's unstable. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to do anything bad and that you're going to lose anything. This is not about losing anything. It's about living in a time where things are going to be unstable, where your values are going to be challenged at a level that they haven't been challenged at for maybe 40 years, and where things that you depend on might not be available to you. And we all need to find other ways to be in charge of our life, okay? And we have this Pluto and Sag. We've got a Saturn-Uranus opposition, which I will talk about. It's all challenging and intense. And this is causing people to start to panic inside themselves about not being able to live up to their material obligations. You know, the market is down. It's really important when these things happen that you'd be connected to the realization that money doesn't come from banks, that money doesn't come from loan institutions, money doesn't come from your job. Money comes from spirit. If you're looking at the material sources to provide for you, then you're blocking the energy of where true source and where true energy comes from. And that's really the important thing. So a theme for the next 3 years, because this is building up till the end of 2012, is to look where your resources truly come from. This is actually one of the major factors of the end of the Mayan calendar. Where do our resources come from?
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to see? You can't buy it fast enough. You can't make enough to buy what you feel you need. You can't keep ahead of the money. You're not going to, so quit trying. We're not going to keep ahead of the money. There's an old saying about following false gods. So the next few years, next 3 years, is going to hold some difficult times for us financially as a country, as individuals, but it's not difficult bad. It's called difficult change, and there's a big difference leading up to 2012. The big difference, it's all about the way you've acquired what you've got. It's no longer going to work. You're going to have to invest in new things. You're going to have to look at the world from a new perspective. And esoterically, it's all about looking at and manifesting what? Your inner resources. So 2009 is a year to tap into your creative process. You know, and we have a scary start this year because we got the Saturn-Uranus opposition. Uranus, the god of lightning, against Saturn, the god of order. You know, what Uranus is challenging is the planet of order. So this year, and November the 4th too, which I will get to, it says that all the order that you're used to, all the things that you did in your life that were orderly, will no longer be orderly. When Saturn and Uranus oppose each other, one of the reasons they bang heads together is to change the reality that is currently existing, to bring in new dynamic information, to help make the world that you live in to be a better place. And this is a good time to show, hey, why don't I just do the elections here?
Yeah, yeah. So really, this upheaval or the change is just clearing the way to connect in more with the truth of who we are, live more what I call spirit-led is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, not, and I will talk about it a little later, but it's all about connecting to your divine self too.
Okay.
Because that's the true marriage, for example. You'll notice that the government is trying to tell who can marry who. But
yeah.
Spirit doesn't care that he marries him and she marries her or I marry you. It's all about connecting to your divine self, your higher self.
Yeah, the conjunctio.
I'll mention that a bit when I do romance later on.
Okay.
But I just thought this is a really good place to throw in the election.
Great, Brian, great.
Okay, and you'll notice I'm going to do this without no delineating. I will not delineate the chart. It's going to be really objective. I'm totally objective. I've got a Venus in Aquarius, okay, and the psychic degree. So anyway, there's six major PowerPoints for the election. The first one, November the 2nd, Neptune goes direct in Aquarius. Obama's got an Aquarius rising. Anyway, here's what it means for the people. People will be hoping that if they just choose the new awareness, that they will have a new security better than they've known before, you know? But the thing is, Neptune direct, in actual fact, is kind of looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But it's an upbeat attitude, right? Then the second thing, the night of November the 3rd, the moon does this occultation conjunct Jupiter, and bring on the change, bring on the change. It's whispered in everybody's brain. Now, the third thing is we have Saturn, exactly opposition Uranus, November the 4th. No kidding, election day. Immutable signs. So everyone is thinking, you know, we have to take a chance. Saturn opposition Uranus happens so a new reality can shift. And karmically in opposition, the planets, they kind of dare us to change the reality. Also, you know, research has shown that 75% of all U.S. presidential elections that occur with a Saturn-Uranus aspect resulted in a party change. So I could bottom line this one point, that McCain has a 1 in 4 chance to win. All right. This is just accurate. This is just
a 1 in 4 chance.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And the fourth point, in all Western countries using our calendar, 2008 is a 1 year. A 1 year is a time of new beginnings, a fresh start. Everyone can kind of feel the excitement of a shift, of getting the new started. All right. The fifth point, in Chinese astrology, it's an Earth Rat year. And it's interesting, McCain is a rat, I forget which one, but Obama is a metal ox, and next year is the year of the earth ox, and metal rules earth. So it's really, really strong for him on Inauguration Day, you know, because it's very close to the shift there. The shift is January 27th of the Chinese year. But anyway, back to the rat year. We are in the rat year now, 2008, and it's always the beginning. It's a one in the Chinese of a new 12-year cycle. So it brings a new beginning of international relationships and social order. This brings in new governments in many countries. So we're going to see a change of leadership in the rat year. And another interesting thing I noticed, we tend to always follow Australia. And they just had an election last year. They went from right to left. So it's very, very likely we're going from right to left. And lastly, point six, really, really important. There's the Pluto in Scorpio generation gets the vote. They were born 1983 to 1995. Okay, so there's probably going to be about, estimate, 15, 20 million of them will actually bother to vote. Others are so involved with themselves that they won't. But here's the point of them. 98% of them will vote for Obama. Why? Because when they were 13, 14, 15, the only government they've known is George Bush. And they've been listening to how he's been insulted and how he's bad and not good. And they just want Pluto and Scorpio for them. They just want, hey, we'll pick the other side. They pick the other side no matter what. I told people that my cat could run, and they would vote for it. Because that's how strong that is. Okay, so it's pretty obvious that without even using the chart. Now, I'm going to do two little things for you. I usually like to do the wives charts because they tell me who's moving. But these two people have been rather dishonest. In fact, we only got McCain's chart correct 2 days ago. He was born at 6:25 p.m. This is his actual time. We only just got it. So this is, like, really annoying. I don't have the wives. Obama's wife is a Capricorn. She's having a great time. She's got a great chart for next year. But here's another little. Why do I look at those? I look to see who's moving to the White House. Well, guess who's really obviously moving? Joe Biden. Joe Biden's got a 19 Virgo midheaven and a 19 Pisces IC. That is the Uranus-Saturn opposition. What does it mean? It means that Uranus is sitting on his house of home, the planet of sudden shocking shifts, sitting on his home. He's the one moving to go live on the in the garden of the White House, wherever they put the vice president. So that's rather obvious there. I can also say one thing about Sarah Palin's chart, which is actually very good. She's got five planets in Aquarius, and she's very authentic. People might not like that. She has no embarrassment about her authenticity, which shows you how strong she is. But she has this double element in her chart where she has to do everything twice and fail at it the first time. So this is what seems to make her really strong. I think she even did the Miss America contest twice, I think. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong, but I think I heard that. But she's due for a big failure before she has a big success. So if I'm bottom lining this, you can see that my absolute prediction is that it's really obvious that Obama's going to be elected. Now, this is as long as the public understands that he is the change. See? Mm-hmm. Now, it's very interesting because I'm beginning to think that all this time, McCain or perhaps his wife has an astrologer saying, look, it's all about change, and they've been trying desperately to separate themselves from the Republican Party, trying very hard. That's why he picked Sarah Palin. How different can that be? Just hoping, but it's really Obama who's the change. And Obama also has a very spiritual chart. I don't think he shows much potential through 09 because it looks very bad. But he has we have to hope that he keeps his own high road. I can go into it a bit if you like. I've got his chart here somewhere.
Do you? Yeah. And keep wondering about him. Is he going to be, you know, able to withstand, you know, he slipped a little, you know, of kind of, I guess he's a bridger. He's kind of bridging the old paradigm and the new. Even though he's changed, he still has some of the old energy, you know.
Remember how I said the next 3 weeks is going to be really rather nasty, full of nasty little comments coming from both sides and everything. No, he's going to make it in. It's going to be a very close election. I know some people think it's really, really tight. It's also very, very strange because we have that Uranus-Saturn opposition, and John McCain represents Saturn, he represents Uranus, and we have a VC moon all day back east. VC means the moon has no energy whatsoever. This means that between 8 and 12% of the electoral people who are voting, they're going to go in and they're going to change their mind when they get in there, back and forth. So nobody will really, really know what they're doing. It's very strange. It goes into an Aquarius moon later in the evening, but it's very, very tight. It's really closer, a lot closer election. In fact, I think the early returns will show for McCain. And so that's going to scare, well, I don't
Wait,
know.
Early signs what? What? Woo, woo. Woo, let's go back. Early signs of what now for him?
Oh, I just think that it will show. He will show early signs of returns on election.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so don't worry.
Okay. I know it's a different. I'm not. It's even if he was in, it's so beyond esoterically what's going to be worked out.
Well, just to make you feel better, at the moment I'm running about 100%, and I've been doing all the elections for a long time. So, I could be wrong, though, because it's the people who feel who is the biggest change, but it's kind of pretty much obvious. And also, the odds are against him just on the technical things that I said to you, like a Saturn-Uranus thing, is like that gives Obama a 75% chance right there. Change of party. Always happens throughout American history on that aspect. And it's just, that's how it looks anyway to me. So I just thought I'd do that for you. I got a few minutes to talk about romance.
Yeah, romance, always good.
Okay, well, let me do this because a lot of us people don't know how this works. Where will I start? Every 22 months, two of the relationship planets, Venus and Mars, the expression is they do a new dance together. So to an astrologer, a relationship constitutes a 22-month cycle. And we assume in astrology that you can make it through 22 months. If you can do it the right way, then you can make it through 25 of those 22-month cycles and be together for a long time, but you have to know what you're doing. And now, the last cycle began October 24, 2006. It was at zero Scorpio, ruled by Pluto. So since October 24, 2006, relationships struggled through Plutonian intensity and all that implies. So it was jealousy, last 22 months possessiveness, and the main thing was issues of control have come up in everyone's relationships, or lack of control, and the sex had to be great too. So it was so intense that many people even decided, hey, I don't really want to be in a relationship right now, and this was the last 22 months. Oh, when's it change? September 11th, it took a big turn, okay?
Uh-huh.
And anyway, so until this last September 11th, I'm just backgrounding everybody, it was all about freedom. I want you to give me freedom in the relationship, but, excuse me while I try to control every move that you make. That's what went on. And so not only was it a fascinating time for scandals, there were a lot of breakups in the last 22-month period. And I think that Christie Brinkley's divorce was like the ultimate. It was the perfect example of Venus conjunct Mars and Scorpio. She was going to be in control no matter how much he wanted to stay married to her. So it was a breakup over control and sexual issues, Scorpio. Okay?
Wow, yeah.
It was fascinating.
Amazing. That's just like, that so elucidates that.
She's not the only one. In fact, I'll be surprised if we don't have two more. I love scandals. In Earth Rat year, we have a lot of scandals. And we started with the Republican in the men's bathroom, and then we had John Edwards. I've lost track of them.
Yeah.
And we should have a couple more. They entertain us.
Yes, they do. They're so human, isn't it? It's so human.
Well, if people misbehaving, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. What was everybody supposed to learn? When we have the Venus-Mars conjunction for the last two years in Scorpio there and Pluto in Sag, here's what was really going on. If you were really connected to someone and you loved them, and with Pluto, you really want to see them grow and you're really into the relationship for the reason that a relationship should be experienced, which is to create a space for your partner to grow in so that you can love them instead of trying to control them. And that's what that was all about. But a lot of people, failed at that. But that's what the lesson was. Anyway, this ended September 11th last month. So So all our relationships entered a new phase. And it's all about a change of relationship consciousness for the next 22 months, and it's about Libra. Okay, so the Venus Mars new phase went into Libra, ruled by Venus, planet of love this time. Ah, looking forward to this. So anyway, people, everybody's going to kind of want to start relating closely again. You probably, including everybody listening, probably already noticing this. Everybody's starting to check everybody out, looking around. I mean, the single ones. Well, maybe the ones that are married.
What is that about?
But anyway, they want to get their present relationships into balance, or they will actually end them in Libra too, because Libra is really rough. And it's in the 15th degree, and for the next, that's the phase beginning, which counts. So let me just say what it means. It means about getting your desires met. But this is getting your desires met in a love, romance, and sex, everything kind of way, whatever it is you desire, as opposed to intensity and controlling, which is Scorpio. See, Libra's more finely balanced. So we've all begun a cycle of restructuring our relationships to ourselves and to others. So you're going to see fashions change in the next 22 months. It's all sorts of stuff. You're going to see a lot of couples get together in 2009 and especially 2010 too. So we're going to see some famous marriages next year, all very romantic. And also, Pluto and Capricorn, nostalgia for the romance of the past is going to make a big return in 2009 and 2010 also. And like I said, people are going to start to dress to present themselves more appealingly, more attractively. You know, what can I do to make myself more appealing to a potential partner? And both men and women will be thinking like this. You know, it's the real upbeat counterbalance of much external life kind of seeming out of control or too controlled and difficult. So, and there we are. Do you want to add something here?
Yeah. So what I'm seeing with this then is that, we're moving into that right relationship, the relationship to our inner self or higher self, what I call by the soul's directive. And then that seems to also be, obviously, as above is so below, as within is so without. So that would be affecting our outer relationship. So that need to connect. Perhaps it's more about connecting with people than things. You know, in the 80s, we had that whole connecting with things, and even in the 90s. And so it seems like with this redirection, what I'm getting from you anyway, with the astrologically, the aspects, is it's moving, like you said earlier, the false gods. It's moving away from connecting with things and the outer to perhaps connecting with ourselves and then connecting with people. You know, what an idea. You know, really, really having that a relationship with people again rather than overworking or, you know, over-focused on attainment of things. I don't know, what's your sense on that?
I see. Okay, I see how you want me to take this. Okay, I'll talk metaphysically for a moment about it.
Okay.
And there's a few things that might be very important next year. And I'm looking between, it's between now and like 2012 into 2013, and we just entered this period, September. And we kind of have to prepare ourselves to go into this cycle because we've been working on the planet all year in our personal relationships with the galactic center. And the galactic center is a really powerful point in the zodiac. And it's a point that brings in new information. And it's information that we really don't know about. We don't know how to do it. And one of the things that it's doing, which we have to start to integrate in 2009, is asking us a really incredible question. And it's what constitutes a marriage, you know? And as I mentioned, our government has decided to pass a law to tell us what constitutes a marriage. But the government missed something, because what the Galactic Center is asking is not about, you know, like I said, me marrying you, because spirit doesn't care who you marry.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother spirit. What spirit is saying by 2012 is that it's time to marry your higher divine self. It's time to form a union with the other part of you that you have been abandoning and ignoring for a long time. And it's found astrologically when we find it in the galactic center. And the galactic center is a place where a part of you that is known as your greater self resides. And when esoteric or spiritual astrologers talk about over bodies, other parts of you, many people believe there is possibly 12 different layers of who you are that constitute what you are, and that you are only in touch with one of those layers. And that's where your pain, that's where your sorrow, that's where your misery comes from, because you won't let yourself go up into those other bodies to see what's going on. And what this energy is asking you to do is make that connection to your higher self and make a relationship. And it says you have 3 years to learn how to do this. You have the next 3 years to learn how to make this connection, how to talk to this connection, how to recognize that this connection is what you have been searching for in every relationship in your life since the beginning of time. And it's why all of your relationships on the earth plane fall short. It's why all of them are totally unfulfilling at times. Because if they were fulfilling, you wouldn't look for it somewhere else. And this energy is asking us to make that divine connection.
That's what I see. Yeah, make the divine connection.
Yeah, and that actually is, to be honest with you, that really is the end of the Mayan calendar. Mm-hmm. It's about reestablishing finances. In other words, your value system comes from spirit. And it's reestablished, well, for some people they're not reestablishing, trying to establish a true connection with your divine self. That really is the big change. And you can see again when I use those percentages, on December 21st, 2012, 80% of the population, they'll have a really nice Christmas shopping day. That's all it's going to mean to them. But
yeah.
There's that 20% in the spiritualized state and the individuated state who will be connecting with this.
Yes.
But it only takes, as you know, it only takes one or two to equal 1,000 or 5,000 other people. The energy of the aura impinges on them and raises them up at the same time.
So we've got a couple questions here. One is, how do we make that divine connection? And then somebody's also saying, well, make it past 2012. And, of course, I'm saying, yes, of course, of course.
Oh, I just defined 2012. That's what's actually going on. Yeah, it's a change of the world, but it's an inner world change. It's a metaphysical change.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that the end of the world day is a fabulous shopping day. I looked at it. I think people will buy too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even being sarcastic. It's a really, really nice day to go Christmas shopping because it's December 21st, 6 p.m. 6 p.m. wherever it was.
Yeah, those of you in England, I lived in England for a while. It's Boxing Day. There's good sales.
No, December 21st.
Oh, no, the 21st. Oh, the solstice. Oh, okay, yeah.
It's the solstice. No, Boxing Day is the 26th.
Yeah, the 26th. I'm on the shopping. You mentioned shopping, and I'm right there. Okay, we have a caller. Let me.
Okay.
Hello, caller, 661-755. You're on Awakening. Do you have a question or
yes.
a comment?
Yes, hello, Brian. I've got a question for you. With this, I've noticed that we've got the same basic configurations coming up with the Saturn-Uranus opposition and then the stellium in Aquarius early next year, which is basically the same configurations as we had in the 60s. And I noticed that every time we've had the Saturn-Uranus oppositions, we've had social unrest around the world. What do you think about that?
All right. I think it's actually the reverse this time, because I think in the 60s Uranus prevailed. I think this time Saturn prevails, which is trying to establish a new stability and a new foundation, and the people will really want that because everything has become so unstable financially and in their home life. And with their housing and everything like that. So that it's not so much looking for... See, everything was... Back in the 60s, everything was unbelievably boringly stable, remember? Because it was a result of the 50s, and Uranus comes in, and the love generation happened, and breaking away, and doing drugs, and everything that Uranus releases. But this time, it's everybody's going... And don't forget, you can't forget that Pluto's going into Capricorn, which rules Saturn.
Okay.
Real Saturn.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Jupiter is just on the ascendant.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for the call. Now, Brian, how do you feel people can tap into this divine connection? Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's an interesting question. Can I do a Sarah Palindrome on that? I'll get back to you.
I love it. Yeah.
I call them palindromes. how can you connect into it? Everybody has to. Oh boy, it's so individual because I'm so used to reading individual charts, and they're so very different. And it also depends what age you are. You know, I mean, if you're 37 right now, you're in your Pluto square Pluto, so it's like unbelievable amount of self-transformation. You have to actually go for it. If you are 50, you're in your Chiron return, and that is sitting alone meditating about it.
Yeah.
So to bring in the shift, I do know one, everybody has to really pay attention to their intuition and their inner voice. I mean, this really is almost a law with me now.
Yeah, it is. What I'm writing here in the chat, what I find, and I did do a previous show on it, moving from self-realization to self-actualization, if you feel the subtle energy, if you can, and you don't have to meditate, it's getting more in the meditative state, not, it doesn't have to be hours of meditation, but using their breath to align or tune in, you will be able to feel the subtle energy literally nudging you ever so slightly in a certain direction or towards a certain solution, if you will, or understanding. It's really learning, and those people that are very adept perhaps at martial arts or things like that, if you have that connect or that tingle that we all feel right now as we're connecting and talking, you'll have that tingle for that, the truth that is your truth, which I think is right. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's an interconnection, and it's different for each people. For air people, Libras and Geminis, they can connect when they walk in the woods or they walk on the beach, you know, where other people is sitting in with a candle in semi-darkness. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the element that affects your chart and all those kind of different elements.
Different ways of tuning in. That's why I like to say the meditative state, not so much meditation, because like what you're saying, Brian, everyone's going to get to that centering point or alignment in different forms, you know. And don't you think we have to release the forms if it has to be this way or that way? It's really whatever works for the individual.
We are releasing the forms till November 26th. Nobody forget that.
Okay.
Going to keep feeling it. Everybody will keep feeling it. And the easiest thing is to say is just let go of all the stuff. Just let go of it. It's trying to hold on to it is like really a battle in the final degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. Here's something about the 29th degree, which is after October 22nd, and this is till November 26th. It's actually easier. Here's why, because we've lived with this sign in Sagittarius since July 95. And what happens with the body inside is that your higher self will say, we haven't got any more time to learn anything more that we're supposed to have learned from this energy. So let's just give up on it. So we might find, and I've noticed on smaller scales, this happens. This is why people will get sick before their birthday, because the higher self says, "Well, we didn't learn what we're supposed to have learned, and we can't do it anymore. So let's give up." And so there might be a big flu outbreak or something in the second half of November. I shouldn't have put that energy out there. I'm just mentioning to you how it'll be, because everybody's higher conscious will say to them, well, there's no more time to learn what I'm supposed to have learned, and I messed it up, so the heck with it. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I'd put that out there because I've noticed it occurs.
Mm-hmm. And someone is asking how to deal with the turmoil, the best approach, if there is this disruption that's happening that we've been talking about in this time.
So you and I just kind of confirmed that, because you have to stay in your own inner space.
Yeah.
And in fact, I mentioned that a lot of the self-aware are actually feeling like they're having to wait too long, aren't they?
Yeah.
So this is really what's going on. It's a time of patience until December. It's a time of patience where you just have to kind of sit it out and and also try to be amused by it.
Yeah, to watch, observe.
Yeah, it's you know, as the shamans say, it's all very amusing watching huge world energies fall apart.
I like in the Tao tradition, they say,
by the way,
go ahead, yeah.
No, I shouldn't have said fall apart. They're not falling apart. They are reconnecting on a higher vibrational level. And that is same with the financial structure. Now, I could throw in...
Just real quick, we've got 5 minutes remaining, so...
Okay, an interesting sort of little concept here. A friend of mine suggested that might it not be one of the attempts at the one world government, you know? But I don't really think so, but it's very interesting that all the banks in the world, they got together. But Jupiter and Capricorn, they got together in Jupiter and Capricorn, which is typical, trying to solve all the problems. But I really don't think that there's anything in that one world stuff.
Moving into the energy of the oneness. So yeah, however that manifests right in different forms.
Yeah, that's different than one government.
I think that's
how those people keep misinterpreting.
Exactly.
One world government. Yes. One world is within us.
Yes.
And it's different because, I mean, each neighbor can never get along with their other neighbor. It would never work. Not on the planet Earth in this generation that we have.
Let's see. We've got one call, quick call in. Let's see if it's... Hello, 321-537. You're on the air with Awakenings.
I have a question I wanted to ask Brian real quickly. I know we're wrapping up the show.
Yeah,
Brian,
we are.
I'm a Virgo, and I was told October, this is my month, that things will change, and it will be an indication how my year will be in 2009, and I am doing everything to try to make this a nice, lovely month, and things are happening to me that are beyond my control. So can you give me some advice?
Yeah, of course they are, because the Lord of Virgo has been retrograde until 20 minutes ago. For Virgos, seriously, just for a moment, for Virgos, Mercury retrograde is not very nice. It totally screws everything up. So everything that you're trying to do, just give it a couple more days, and you'll the whole second half of October will be much better for you than the first half.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because I'm doing everything to try to manifest, because I believe in that, you know, the positive thoughts bringing in positive energy. And it's just things happening
to not
me
supposed
that...
To take,
well, you might have to do more positive thinking. Just positive.
You can't really, you can't really take much action on the, your job is not to take action on the Mercury retrogrades for you. Your job is to think about what action you want to take after it goes direct, okay? Because it's very strong in your chart, especially if you happen to be a double Virgo or something.
I'm sorry I called in so late, because I really wish I could ask you more, but I know you're wrapping up, so...
I expanded just a little bit. We can go over a minute or two, but
Uranus, I'm sure Uranus might be opposing your Virgo energy also, and that's turbulent change. It's exciting, so don't think of it as being negative, because Uranus is going to be bringing the new into you.
Oh, so exciting! Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're very welcome. Great to connect with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So much happening. So much energy right now.
Isn't it? Wow.
Can you feel it? Woo. I'm like, my crown chakra has been tingling the whole time. It was like my aura's expanded beyond what it's normally expanded. So it's great. So we're getting some wonderful... feedback also in the chat that this has been so helpful for everyone.
Well, we're coming into a couple of great romance years.
So yeah, somebody was asking about relationship, which we did touch on, so I'm not sure what their specific question is.
I covered it quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
So,
well, they can listen to, they can, if you've missed some of this, some of you that have just floated in or surfed in the net late or called in late, definitely the archive. There will be an archive of it, which I'm going to re-listen to the show, because there's so much information, even though I took notes, and it's in my subconscious, but I want to re-savor Okay, now website. What's the best way people can get in touch with you, Brian?
Oh, I guess they can email me. I've resisted doing web. I've loaded 12th house, so I'm kind of secretive.
Oh, okay, that's why. Well, I know when I was like, yeah, getting info on
and,
you.
I'm certified professional with ESAR, I-S-A-R, so they can always get me from there. But they can get me at my name, Brian Evis, B-R-I-A-N-E-V-I-S, at hotmail.com, and they can hotmail. I'm actually a personal astrologer. That's what I mostly do, but I get asked a lot of this a lot of the time.
Okay. So ISAR.com or Brian Evis at hotmail.com also.
Yeah, that's the main one. Denise will get me directly because that's my direct email, so I can do. And I do readings all over the world. I tape them and I send them off to. I'm very big in strange places at the moment. Always, you know, Rochester, New York, Calgary, Canada, south of France.
I don't remember which paper I was reading, but you were in some newspaper or something. Somebody was talking to you about, it might have been a year or so ago, but about your prediction, and I guess it was correct or something, commenting on that.
Yeah, I did the predictions a few years running for the Los Angeles Times, which I think they probably didn't appreciate because I do it with detachment like I just did, and it was all Republicans, I picked. And it's a Democratic paper, so they weren't real thrilled. They should be contacting me now because you now know what I think.
Yes.
Democrats, right? So that's it. And from my astrological perspective.
Perfect. Well, this has been absolutely wonderful, Brian. You've given us so much insight, information, and inspiration, which is great. You've really given us a bit of a map of what's coming up individually as well as collectively, and you know, in a way of reading the world patterns and the astrology, what's leading up to 2012, where we're going. This is a different way of looking at the evolutionary process that's happening. So I really appreciate.
It was just a small topic, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Now I see why. This is why I had to get you on. I think she said three or four sentences, and I was like, oh my God, wait, where is he? How do we find him? You know, this is just great info and very, very aware, very expanded. And we just really appreciate your energy and what you've brought to Awakenings today. So.
Well, thank you, Michelle. I'll have to thank Diane. I don't know who she is, actually.
I know. Well, she was in one of your seminars or lectures. I don't know if she actually talked to you. Well, she obviously, you know, happy participant. How's that?
That's great.
So, again, everyone, thank you so much. And as everyone knows, Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. And then there's a replay on cosmicdimensions.com every Saturday and Sunday, which is also a great station, but it's more a music station. Until next time. Keep awake. Lots of love and light.